Our next speaker, Bill Bagley, is a member of the Board of Regents of the University of California, as I've mentioned. He's also a senior partner with the law firm Nossaman Gunther Knox and Elliott in San Francisco.
Guthner.
In San Francisco. Bill also graduated Phi Beta Kappa from my alma mater, the University of California at Berkeley.
What year?
See what I tell you?
You graduated in 1949. He is valedictorian of his 1949 class, and he also serves as permanent president of the class of 49. I was in the class of 49, but my graduation from my mother was of a different sort. Bill was the first chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation Commission under President Gerald Ford. He has served as chairman of the California Transportation Commission and a member of the California Public Utilities Commission and the California Advisory Committee on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. He received his J.D. from Bolt Law School at the University of California, Berkeley. He's a former member of the California State Assembly, a recipient of many awards, including Most Effective Assemblyman by the California Press Corps, Legislator of the Year by the California Trial Lawyers Association, the Golden Bear Award from California State Park and Recreation Commission, and so forth. I'm very pleased to introduce Bill Bagley.
Thank you. I do have some material here that perhaps should be distributed because there's some numbers in there that sort of discount some of the numbers that you've heard earlier. And I would like you to look at them. Ward makes a very nice presentation. Ward cares. I care. I care in large part because of my affinity with the university. This is a university that started me out in life. Ward has his history, his heritage. I do mine. I was a Depression kid. Grew up in a little town of Woodacre. We had post office box, too. I used to go trout fishing and bring a few trout home for dinner at night. Went to the University of California at the age of 17 in 1945. That university was great to me. And Ward is correct. You're anticipated correctly. I don't want it to be hurt. Now, we can go through a lot of numbers, but I'm going to give you one number, and then we'll go backwards, and hopefully we'll go forwards. One of the absolute facts of life and effect of the Regents' Resolution was the dissuasion, that's a polite word, mostly of African Americans or blacks, to apply at the university, or if admitted, to agree to enroll. There are three aspects to this: application, admission, and acceptance, three A's. The most dramatic figure that comes to mind, and there are a lot more numbers, 1999, now that's post 209, that's post WC, that's Ward Connolly, that's post 1995. These are the absolute top cream of the class applicants at UCLA Law School. 18 were admitted. Two agreed to attend. Now, it's a small number of people, but it's a dramatic number. And it's an absolute indication, an absolute verification of one of my major points, and Ward is correct again, he anticipates correctly, that we have hurt the University of California by dissuading, by telling these folks, you ain't welcome. So let me go backwards a step, let me go forwards a step. In this material, you'll see a lot of numbers. Give you a few more just for the hell of it, because Ward asked me to talk about numbers. He says admissions and applications have increased. Increased those headlines that he quoted from the year 2000 were all in reference to 1997. 1997 was the year after, 2 years after, July 20th, 1995, when there was a nadir, an absolute bottom to the applications and the admissions. So of course they're going up. We have a wonderful outreach program. We didn't spend $250 million, we spent $180 million. We used to spend about $60 million just going out to high schools. We've now doubled it and tripled it. That's good. one of the points I'll make later, and I'll make it right now, is if we were to simply get rid of the university's participation, its leadership, its genesis, its progeneration, its incubation of 209, get the university out of this vortex, add to the outreach program by simply saying to the world, by the Board of Regents, we did wrong in 1995. We shouldn't have led the political matrix, if you will, the political vortex, if you will, the political fight that has been started. Ward has written a fine book. I've looked at it. He has indelibly imprinted in that book the fact that University of California Board of Regents, incidentally by a vote of 14-10, so those 10 other 10 people, according to Ward, were irresponsible, were not doing their fiduciary duty. 9 chancellors, the president, all the officers, don't do this to our university. Board did it by 14-10. 10 were irresponsible, 14 were leaders. And led the university down this path. Down this path. I'm going to get back to that in a moment. Admissions. Admissions. I got some figures here. University of California Law Schools. In 1999, admissions. University of California. No, I'm sorry, applications. 1999, 213. 1994, 467. Applications haven't gone up. They've gone down by at least a half. That's African Americans, blacks, it says here. Same thing is true of Hispanics. Oh, admissions. In 1999, first year enrollments, University of California, 7. 1994, 31. There were double the number of applicants. Put affirmative action preferences aside, just pure applicants. The folks ain't showing up, and if you look at some of the material I've handed out today, tonight, that you've seen tonight, you'll see that. Let me go back to the 60s, Ward. You were there. Oh, I got to claim credit. This is an absolute true story, Ward, and you were there too. 1969, the Republicans took the majority of the assembly by one vote. Bob Monaghan was speaker. I was sort of number two or number three in the House. Then freshman, sophomore, Assemblyman Pete Wilson was slated, because I had left the Judiciary Committee, he was slated to be chairman of Judiciary. Pete Wilson came to Bob and myself and said, you know, I'm from San Diego, urban sprawl down there is a big problem. I want to chair a housing committee. In 1969, January, we created a housing committee. And Pete Wilson drafted Ward Connerly to be his chief consultant. Ward, I spawned you, sir. I'm your godfather. No, that's literally true.
I decline you.
Stop interrupting.
You ask me a question.
You know, the 60s were watershed years, my friends, and I'll do this as quickly as I can, and we'll get back to the issue at hand. And I'm serious when I want to go back this far. In 1965, we had Selma, we had the Civil Rights Act, we had the Voting Rights Act, we had LBJ after the assassination of JFK. 1968, God, that was a bad year. Kennedy was killed, George Wallace was killed, wounded, and Martin Luther King was killed. I stood on the altar at the church at Martin Luther King's funeral. The choir was crying and singing at the same time. I was crying. 1963. You know, this is the beginning of this movement. We're only talking about 30 years. 1960s to the 90s, that's 30 years of progress after 5,000 years of repression. So are we going to have a race-free society in the next X years? I'm sorry, we're not. We've got to help. We've got to help. We can't just blind ourselves and say, everybody's equal and we're all going to have fun together. It's not going to happen. We've got to help people get ahead. I don't mean quotas. That's a bad word. I don't mean even preferences. I mean, tell the world they're welcome at the University of California. That's my real point. My point here is not to defend every aspect of affirmative action in its broadest categories where people were given, you know, people were actually discriminated against because they were white. That's not my point. The point is, keep the university out of this issue. And there's a way to do that. In 1963, we passed the Rumford Act. I wonder how many people here know the name Byron Rumford, black assemblyman from Oakland, from Berkeley, a pharmacist. It was fair housing. The three Republicans voted for it. I was one. 1967, Ronald Reagan voting, campaigning as a right-winger, repeal the Rumford Act. Teeth clenched and fist red-faced, repeal the Rumford Act. What a terrible thing to do. And then in 1967, SB1, Senate Bill 1, to repeal fair housing in California. Came to the assembly. I'm bragging now. We had a conference committee. We amended the bill so that there would be a conference committee, and I never called a committee meeting. We did not repeal the Rumford Act. That's only 30 years ago, my friends. So I'm bragging at you, and I'm telling you a little bit of background of why I care about this issue. I could go on and on and on, but my point is race is not going to go away. We have to acknowledge it. What did the Regents do? What did the Regents do? Pete Wilson was running for president. Everybody knows this. This is the most raw, evil, rotten meeting we've ever had. We had to go upstairs three floors in the building to hide from the public. Jesse Jackson was allowed to speak for a half an hour because my friend, whose housing committee I helped create, was there, and Pete wanted Jesse Jackson and he to debate on national television. It all occurred. Remember, the vote was 14 to 10. One of the great leaders of the board, and I won't quote him, but you can ask me later who his name was, after voting aye, said to me, shaking his head, "Bill, I hope we didn't do too much harm today." That's an exact quote. So what are we going to do about all of that? Now, I thought Ward was going to talk more about his national movement. He has a First Amendment right to do that. In catechism, Ward, the second grade, I never made the first grade. I learned the little expression, "Where is God? God is everywhere." Where is Ward? Ward is everywhere. He's traveling the United States, First Amendment, doing his thing, so to speak. But every time he shows up, the progenitor of that movement is the University of California. That's my whole point in one nutshell. Ward can do any blessed thing he wants. He'd pay his filing fee if he'd only run for office and participate in the process. But don't use the Board of Regents. Don't abuse my university nationwide by being the progenitor of this movement. I don't care whether you agree or not. You like affirmative action? Don't like affirmative action? Don't put the university in the middle of this. Don't put the university in the middle of this. He said it's relevant because admissions are relevant. On the way over, I was listening to the radio. Way over from San Francisco. You know, if a member of the Board of Regents really wanted to have fun, he would put a proposition before the board to, by fiat, admit Ilian Gonzalez to the University of California at Berkeley. That's an admissions problem. By God, Vice President Gore would be out, as Jesse Jackson was, saying that's a wonderful thing to do. That's an issue that the University of California ought to take up. I think I'll put it on the agenda. Ward laughs at me when I say, you know, we abort babies at our hospitals. Let's get the Board of Regents involved in that issue. We teach evolution, my God, in our anthropology courses. Let's have only Christian hymns played by the campanile bells. I'm sorry, it's a little extreme. How about the Confederate flag? How about a scroll of the Ten Commandments streaming down from the campanile? Ward, got to tell you another story. We had a bill in the legislature to print the Ten Commandments on every school book in California. The damn thing passed the Senate 25-5. It was on the assembly floor. It was going to pass. Ronald Reagan would have signed it. I moved to divide the question, saying there are at least two commandments upon which I cannot vote. Somebody moved a table. We killed the bill. True story. I'm exaggerating to make the point. But does this university, because it's relevant, have to get involved in these issues? Or shouldn't we back away, endorse outreach programs, endorse K-12 improvement, endorse budget improvements? work with the legislature, which is predominantly Democratic, predominantly against what my colleague Ward has been doing? It's literally true. Or do we go on and hurt the university by getting it involved in this raw political issue? That's my whole point. It's my whole point. So what is the effect? Yes, there's a lost generation. Oh, 20 years from now, things will be much better. Hell, 50% of California will be Hispanic and 30% will be white. I think that's 40 years from now, to be accurate, 2040, and that's a projection. Well, what do we do in the meantime? Yes, we are losing a generation. Not of those who profited by preference, but we're losing a generation of qualified kids. University of California, 1965, and Ward claims credit for it. Why didn't we wait for 209? Hell no! The University of California Board of Regents, by about 14 to 10, sponsored 209. They led the fight. Of course, some people figure, whether they're right or wrong, Ward, some people figure, God, I'm not welcome there. The damn Board of Regents did this to us. My point. And I hope you don't have to agree about preferences. You can at least look at what's happened to the university in that context. We have lost a generation, it'll be repaired, of qualified kids. The 18 who were admitted at Berkeley, at UCLA Law School, and 2 attended. We are losing the qualified kids. I'm going to read you something. Ward reads well. Ward has resources. I have resources. There's all kinds of material that I've sent to you. But this is an absolute sent, meaning distributed. This is a wonderful little quote. Here is a lady who is the president of Smith College, very elite college. She happens to be, and I'm reading, the black daughter of a sharecropper. She is now on a personal quest across America to increase racial diversity in leading colleges and universities. And I'm quoting, "We want to exploit what we've seen as a weakness. Proposition 209 and the discouragement factor," she said. "We would like to get some of the best students who may not feel this is the place for them now that California universities are being segregated." I don't adopt that statement. It's mine. I quote it. Ruth Simmons, president, Smith College. There is absolutely no question that Harvard, Yale, Stanford, the rest of them are recruiting our best kids. Graduate schools are suffering. We have no outreach program for graduate students. Period. Law schools, medical schools, business schools, all going down. Yes, Riverside has improved. Riverside is not the most popular campus, and I'm sorry, but that's a fact, among the university system. It's a wonderful campus, wonderful people. It's not the most popular. Riverside is improving, but Berkeley, UCLA, San Diego, and I'll give you numbers, are losing applicants and losing admissions, and the graduate schools are being almost decimated, and that's 1 in 10. It's worse than decimated. That is what's happening to the University of California. It's a fact. Ward can tell you admissions are going up, applications are going up, only since 1997, 2 years after we did what we did. So what do we do about it? It's really simple. And you know what is going to happen? Every 20 or 30 years, the Board of Regents disturbs an ordinary, normal, progressive situation. University of California, my friends, and this is an absolute fact, is the acknowledged international leader as a public research institution. There is no other. Harvard's nice, but they're not public. Stanford's nice, but they're not public. Michigan's nice, but they're not an internationally recognized research institution. We don't want to hurt them. So as a part of our outreach program, and I don't know how much time we have left, but I'll finish in 3 or 4 months. I wasn't timely, Ward. As a part of our outreach program, we simply rescind, not all 9 paragraphs of SP1, because SP1 spoke of outreach. Frankly, I added paragraph 9 that said, we offer diversity. Around the room, it was amazing. All the little boy regents and little girl regents said, oh, I'm for diversity, but I'm voting aye. One of the regents cried as she voted aye, because she was pressured. So what you do is you don't rescind the resolution. You simply take paragraphs 3 and paragraphs 4 and say, we hereby rescind the action by which we said that the University of California is against affirmative action. That's all we do. We say welcome. It absolves us. Out damn spot. It absolves us from the blame, rightly or wrongly, that we are getting. And if you look at some of the material that we've handed out, blame goes on, and blame will continue to go on. And the book indelibly imprints the University of California as a target, rightly or wrongly, as a target for the blame. It's very simple. We simply rescind that resolution. Now, I said earlier, every 20 or 30 years, the Board of Regents gets the University of California in trouble. Some of you were around in 1950. I was. The Board of Regents passed a loyalty oath. They followed Joe McCarthy. No comparisons. They followed Joe McCarthy. 70, 80 professors quit, fired, went through lawsuits. 5 years later, the Board of Regents rescinded that resolution. 20 years later, 1968-70, there were some riots at the University of California. Ronald Reagan became president. He became governor. Ronald Reagan was going to show that, by God, he was in control. So he had the Board of Regents fire Clark Kerr, the most, if any of you know him, the most renowned, the most respected educator in the world. We fired Clark Kerr. 25 years later, 1995, the finger in the wind. We are going to lead the fight that has erupted into a national divisive campaign. Jeb Bush. I read the book, Ward. I read it. I perused it. It's good. I'm not complaining. I think it's page 273. You can look at it afterward. Jeb Bush says, I don't want to deal with Ward Connerly's initiative. It's a divisive measure. Where is Pete Wilson today, who ran for president in 1996, who sponsored 187, 209, and then Speak English Only, I think it was 226 or 27. Those are divisive wedge issues. You know, wedge is defined as spike. We shouldn't be involved. We, the university, shouldn't be involved.